since the door open.
Okay. Welcome. We are excited. We're going to talk to you about how to maximize your genius, how to maximize your purpose in life. And I have Dr. Jim Slaughter here joining me today.
Hello, and good to be with everybody today. Hi out there, everyone.
Well, today we're excited. We have two books that actually coincide, kind of. They go together.
They do, yep.
We've been reading a new book called The Genius of Jesus by Erwin McManus. And we realized that it really correlates a lot with the profiles that we do for personality, and it correlates with strength finders that companies do for businesses to find your top strengths. So we wanted to start by talking about The Genius of Jesus a little bit, the book, what it means, basically. So I'm going to let you do that, Dr.
Okay.
Slaughter.
And this is a book that was given to us, really, to read together and talk about it. It's by an author named Erwin Raphael McManus. I did not know that author before I started reading the book, but he develops the concept of genius in a way that most of us haven't thought of before. Normally, when I thought of a genius, it would be somebody like Einstein or maybe Michelangelo, you know, painting the Sistine Chapel and sculpting and all that kind of thing and all, but I never thought of genius in the way that McManus begins to talk about it, because he develops it in such a way from the life of Christ, really, and some of the genius in Jesus as he sees it. And it has to do with latent talents, skills, part of your personality is in all that. So it's basically, it comes down to what we do well and some of the gifts that God has given us, things that we develop, and how we can use them for the betterment of mankind.
Well, in The Genius of Jesus, when you see The Chosen TV series, if you haven't seen it, you can find it almost anywhere. You can find it on Amazon, you can find it on YouTube, you can find it on The Chosen app that you can download from your Play Store. You can get it anywhere. But what you find is that you can see that genius in each episode. Every episode, you're drawn to him. You are really drawn to him. And I think that's the character, that's a lot of the genius about Jesus, is the way he handles people, mm-hmm. his patience, his self-discipline, his self-control.
Right.
There are just so many things that make him so likable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's important to understand that we all have strengths. We all have genius within us.
Right.
And that's what I love about this book. And then what I began to talk to you about was how much Strength Finders goes along with that. So Strength Finders is by Tom Rath and Gallup, because Tom Rath used to work for Gallup. And it actually focuses on your strengths, not your weaknesses. And basically it says that a successful life is made through your strengths. And so you should work to hone your strengths until it becomes like a genius. But each person is different. And each person has the different top five strengths. So they actually have you take a test, and it tells you your top five strengths. And it's so interesting because they say, well, like you and I don't have the same five. We're very different. I mean, I don't have any of his five, and he doesn't have any of my five.
No.
Which is
a good thing. We complement each other really well for what we do and who we are, I think. And the thing about Rath's book, when it first came out, it really flew in the face of common thinking. Most people thought, I need to hone those areas of my life where I'm weak. I need to build up my weaknesses. Rath says, no, not at all. What we need to do is to make our strengths stronger and to use them. And I had begun thinking, even before I read that book, you know, that I can work my weaknesses, and I'm probably not going to get much better in those areas. So let's work on my strengths, make them stronger, and be a better person for that and use my strengths.
Well, and the reason is for, you know, it's been proven that when you focus on your weakness, let's say you have good grades except for one that's almost failing or failing, and so your parents say, you got to work on that, focus on that, right? Like, yeah. And so when you start focusing on that to get that grade up, your other grades are going to come down. So when you focus on something, you're not focusing on the other things, so they tend to decrease.
Well, you want to pass the course, of course.
Definitely. We want you to pass.
But, yeah, focusing on that and trying to make that your strength is futile.
Yes, because then if you focus on your weaknesses all the time, which a lot of people do, they think, oh, I need to work on these and work on these and work on these. Well, you can. I mean, if you're being inappropriate or destroying relationships or finances, things where it's destruction or bad, right? But in general, if you focus on your strengths all the time, you're going to be what they say is average. That's the best that you could be. Whereas if you focus on where your strengths are, you're going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good word.
And I think that's what that is about. Now, the genius of Jesus, Erwin McManus, has committed his life to the study of genius and the pursuit of God. And so he never knew that they would collide someday. And I think he says he's an iconoclast, an entrepreneur, a storyteller, fashion designer. I thought that was cool to find out he's a fashion designer, filmmaker, and a thought leader.
Renaissance man.
Yeah, and he says it kind of violates our view of reality. And that's what I'm saying. Like America, that's what you were saying. America tends to focus a lot on everything has to come up. Everything has to come up. So if you have weaknesses, you got to focus on that, right? Or if you have the grades, and that's what the schools do, right? Instead of, like, who is the painter who her parents homeschool her so she can develop her painting genius? And so she had some people saying that came to visit her saying, is this really a good education for her? Right. And she said, do you think what you do in public school is a good education? You know, if you look at all the stuff they waste their time on, all the things that happen there, she has developed an incredible genius and is already working and doing all this stuff and then getting travel and all this, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very fascinating, that those parents understand the whole concept of strengths and the genius in us.
Yes, they seem to, and they encourage their daughter to move in that direction. And, you know, one of the things that we want to do in the program today is to encourage all of our listeners and people who watch to begin thinking, you know what, I am a genius too. The question is, where is my genius and how do I maximize it and use it for the sake of other people and
for
the world?
And McManus said that he was open to finding something out there, because everybody says you have a purpose, you have a purpose, you have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And he said he was desperately searching for something to translate his life from the mundane to godliness, you know, mm-hmm. to a genius, to something special, mm-hmm. because we're all made differently. And so everybody is unique, so everyone is special. So he wanted to find out that, so he wouldn't feel like he was so ordinary and mundane. Mm-hmm. His mundane life is what he calls it. Right.
And who wants that?
Nobody.
Right.
So he says, although my search was academic, it was also far from personal. Growing up, I felt trapped within my own limits and my path was blocked to a higher, better self. I was like Peter Parker. Now that is Spider-Man.
Right.
Always the interwoven. My fascination with, he said, I hope there was something within all of us that could transform us to our most heroic selves, to be heroes.
What a way to put it. Isn't that great?
And you know, I have a lot of people that Spider-Man inspired them. Now, I don't, Chris, our producer, inspired, yes. And so they talk about Peter Parker, you know, and so I think that was funny. That's a hero.
Yeah, absolutely. And
she should tell us, he's gone, I'd love to hear, come back. Why, when you get time, you got to get on and tell us. Yeah. So he said most of his friends envied athletes or musicians or actors. And he envied, besides Spider-Man, okay, philosophers, scientists, and inventors.
Yeah.
And so anyone that was kind of invisible to everyone else, which I guess Spider-Man starts out kind of invisible to people.
Yeah,
right?
Just a high school kid, right?
And he said, I could live with being someone who was faster, stronger, smarter. Like, what is that? Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just the endless possibilities of the unknown. So the fear, of course, was that there was no genius within me to be found. Mm-hmm. No God who could awaken my originality or the lack of it. One thing I've learned over my lifetime, he said, is we search for what we lack and we long for what we fear, and we have more than a meaningless composite of carbon. Okay, so now he got really depressed there. And that's how he felt so mundane. Because
yeah.
That's what our media kind of makes it out, and scientists and a lot of people say we're just dust and carbon and
chemicals,
you know,
and stuff.
Yeah, and there's, you know, galaxies, and we're just this dot. But he so enjoyed becoming a student of genius and an explorer in the search of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was doing these two things separately. He loved how do people become geniuses? And he was looking at studying genius, like I study giftedness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he was searching for God. And he tends to study, so he read and read and read. And then what he came down to was there are a handful of people who consistently make the list of history's greatest geniuses. My list was always beginning with, you know, the Renaissance man, the quintessential Renaissance man who always reads and he's, you know,
he's artistic, he's a reader, he knows a little bit about math, a little bit about astronomy, a little bit about lots of things.
And you love that.
I
think that you kind of emanate the Renaissance man in a lot of ways.
Well,
you have your candle,
nice
and you have, you really love enhancing all the senses.
I do.
And you read and you sit there like, you know, I don't know, I just know that you kind of embrace that Renaissance man and you. You know, you taught about it.
Yeah, I taught about it. That's right.
So what was your fascination with Renaissance?
Well, the Renaissance is both good and bad from my perspective. But the good part was that so many new things, fresh thinking, diversion from stodgy darkness began to take place. And so many new astounding revelations were there. Copernicus comes up with a heliocentric solar system rather than a geocentric one. The sun is what.
I mean, there were actually a lot of inventions then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the printing press comes in there just before the time of Martin Luther, the 1500s and stuff. And so there were so many new bright stars, you know, coming to be seen in that day, stars by in terms of people. And some of them were linguists, some of them were churchmen, some of them were mathematicians, some of them were astronomers, philosophers, all of that. And it was a time when, for different reasons, that became okay to think outside the box for the most part.
But I think that one of the cool things is, and I think that's where a lot of the American idea came, is that they were well-rounded.
Yes.
And so wanting people to be well-rounded led to becoming more average. Don't you think? Like,
well, in a way, it did, yeah.
Instead of focusing on what you do so well,
mm-hmm.
right? This is my genius. This is where I'm gifted. This is my strength.
Mm-hmm.
It's everyone needs to work on being well-rounded. I think that's what the schools try to do. Just a well-rounded education of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know they don't get educated at everything now. But anyway, all to say, it's not this idea of genius. Just focusing on your strengths, so that it's and genius is separated from like the creative process or just working hard, like talented, right?
Talent is a part of the genius that McManus talks about, but also skills. He says that genius can be taught, which is an interesting concept. Usually we think that it's, you know, given at birth or something.
Well, that's a cool thing. So we'll get into it after break. And go into why it would be so good to learn your strengths and how to do that, and then also how to learn your genius. So stay right here.
All right.
And when we get back, imagine everything in your life getting better and getting better. Yeah.
Take your wife's diet.
Oh, no.
I'll do it with the last crates later.
My mic or his mic?
His.
No.
No, this is us.
So I found out that I had my phone on as well into the live thing. So I had them both on. So it was causing.
Gee, all those wonderful
hey, Sheila?
Words that
Sheila's here?
Lost into space.
No, they picked up, but they're trying to get it stronger.
Okay.
All right.
That was a jest.
Okay. I can edit all that. Okay, the genius of so my mic's okay,
yeah,
but
you're,
my headphones.
You're more than okay, yeah, you're fine.
My headphones aren't gonna work though, right? So I'll just leave them.
I don't know why. Can I put them on?
They're working now. Awesome.
Somebody.
Yeah. Yay.
Oh yeah, that works.
Okay.
You're gonna pick up now. Like, watch that.
Okay.
Watch the board.
I won't touch it. I don't usually touch it. Which of these do you want? Any?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
You don't need it. I know you know this stuff like the back of your hand.
No,
but I brought it just in case you need to rub
but
the ball out.
I have thought a lot about it, you know, and so, I might need you to read off my strengths or something.
Oh, yeah. Where did you write them down?
I highlighted mine and circled yours.
I know mine.
We can talk about, you know, how that fits into.
So we can start with that. Why don't we do that when we come in?
Okay.
Because I don't know. So for you, how you want to pull them together is really important. Oh, I can close this out. Can everybody be seen? All right.
Thanks, so.
Sheila.
Sheila's
on there.
Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hello,
my friend from EDS. Sheila.
Oh, that's Sheila. Hey,
Sheila.
Yeah. Glad to have you on.
I need to go see her.
Yes, you do.
We.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. Great.
Okay. So if we come back, should we start with this?
Yeah, scripture genie? Or what?
That. Okay. And
no,
then,
no. I thought that's what you were pointing to.
I'm just asking.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe we should wait a bit on that.
Okay.
That
so where do we start when we come back? It's 6 minutes.
Well, we might want to just encourage people to think about, I know what it's going to be. McManus talks about the compassion of Christ as part of his genius, you know, and becoming a
you can
full image of who he is.
Because they can hear. You want to let them hear too. They can hear us.
Right. Yeah.
Not as well, because the microphone's made a beep, so.
Okay. Yeah.
So the compassion.
Well, yeah, because he talks about the genius of Christ being beyond just, of course, what he did, but who he was and what came out of his inner being, something like compassion being a kind of genius.
Okay, so. Welcome back. We are going to start with the genius of Jesus. So fill us in, Dr. Sutter.
Well, thank you. McManus opens up a new world, kind of, when it comes to understanding what genius, at least from that perspective, is, and that it's more than what we do. It's more than painting a picture. It's more than... how you doing, Chris? Can you hear me? Okay. It's more than painting a picture, like some of the Renaissance artists that we talked about. It's more than discovering new things about the stars. It can be a part of who we are and how we are and how we relate to people. And he talks about genius, the genius of Jesus, having a lot to do with how he related to people and how he was able to serve and help and really make the world a better place by interacting with people. And one of the things he brings out about the Lord is his compassion for people. And that comes out a lot. And other things too, but we talked about The Chosen, which I think is an excellent, just a very excellent series. And Jesus' compassion, his caring for people comes out of that. And from a Mattis perspective, that's a part of his genius. So a lot of it is that.
So I wonder what strength that would be, because to me that sounds like empathy.
Yes, it does sound like empathy, and empathy is one of the strengths in the Strengths Finder list, and that would be one of yours, actually, which is kind of a cool thing.
It is mine, and so that's my number one.
I know.
And it can get me in trouble. It says join up with a good, if you are an empathizer, join up with a good relator,
yeah.
And you are a relator.
That's me, yeah.
So when I think of empathy, people, especially talented in the empathy thing, can sense the feelings of other people. By imagining themselves in others' lives or other situations.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with mine, one of mine being a relator, and there's so many that tie together, and we can get to that. And so, you can't hear me. At any rate, that's why it tied into the StrengthsFinder concept so well, the idea of, genius consisting of things like those strengths, not just a particular skill, but skill is part of it,
yes.
Talent is part of it, and just things that we are born with, innate kinds of who we are, person that is a part of that, apparently.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, actually, maybe it is empathy and relator together, Jesus' compassion.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if he had all of them.
Yeah, yeah, all of them. All of the strengths all together. But
yeah.
I do think that, you know, I thought about relator, and people with relator enjoy close relationships, like
yes.
Jesus did. He enjoyed mm-hmm. those relationships with
yep.
his disciples. And they find deep satisfaction in working hard with friends
mm-hmm.
to achieve a goal.
Yes.
That is so you. Yes, you want to achieve, because you're also an achiever. And so that's... It's,
you want to read off of what yours are and what mine are, just to give people an idea?
Yes, my number. So mine are empathy and maximizer, positivity, strategic, and woo.
Woo. Don't you love that word?
I was like, woo, that's not even a real word. Yeah, so I thought that was... Yours are so cool. Yours are achiever. Discipline, of course, discipline, harmony, learner, and relator. I don't know what you know, they say that everybody's combination, like my combination, is only 1 in 33 million people.
I know. That's
the odds.
Yeah.
So yours, that's why, we were in class and nobody had mine and nobody had my order.
Right.
And nobody, I think only one person had one of yours, the
mm-hmm.
achiever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, all of what I do, it made total sense why I do what I do.
Yeah.
When you take empathy, that I have compassion for
mm-hmm.
people, that I love to maximize people. So a maximizer, people especially talented in the maximizer thing, focus on strengths as a way to stimulate personal and group excellence. They seek to transform something strong into something superb.
Yes.
And they do this, they enjoy doing that with other people,
mm-hmm.
finding... maximizing people. I can't. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so me. That's what I do. That's why I love this show. That's
right,
what I.
Right.
And then positivity. People that are have positivity have an enthusiasm that is contagious. They are upbeat and can get others excited about what they are going to do.
And that is you.
And I was like, oh my gosh,
let
that's so me,
you.
Right? So part of it is with my strengths, it made me realize I'm in the perfect career,
mm-hmm.
just combined, having the clinics and the shows and all that we do.
Yeah.
And that's what we want you to have, to see how to really love life, is to have these, know the genius that you have, the strengths that you have, and put them together for your life to work, to target you that way.
Right, right. And you know, Mattis particularly focuses on helping other people when it comes to those things. It's also those self-realization.
Yes, they right here.
We may want to encourage them to.
So we don't have a clock.
No.
So we can't see. So we're gonna, when he signals, gotta, that means he's counting down.
Yeah.
So when he does,
I see him.
When he does,
do that, so.
That's 30 seconds. And
yeah.
When he does 6 seconds, so when he
starts doing.
Oh, this isn't 3 minutes.
That's 30. That's what I thought. I didn't even know that was a 3. Because my other Christy would say 30, and he would go. And then Tiffany did another one. I was like, I don't know what that means, right? All right. So, okay. That's cool. So do you want to do any more with that? I'm going to give this to you.
Well, I thought I might. You talked about how yours tie into what you do.
Yes.
You know, what your life work is, who you are. I might mention that, too. I think mine was perfect for being a professor and even for a coach, you know, or a counselor, especially the harmony part of coaching and anyway, that kind of thing. So I thought I might mention that real quick.
Okay. That'll be good. And so when are you wanting to do that? So the next one is 15 and a half.
Let's see what's going on with your lights.
Yeah, I can't hear him very well, so I was wondering.
No, I'm right against it.
Mm-hmm. But are you by that? This is where I was. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right there by that. I have microphones in my, I brought my mixer. There's microphones in that. That hook on like that.
That's not the mic, it's the cable.
That's what I was wondering. So should we switch?
No, it's out of time. Okay. Actually, we'll try something to isolate this. Talking to Mike real quick?
Yes, I'll talk in. I can hear myself really well.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, because right as I walked out here, I tapped and had a full level. I just gotta get here. Just fix this stuff, it's dying.
Should we share?
No, that would not come off well. Yeah.
Talk into me. Let's see how it goes out.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
See the difference between mine and
yours? Yeah, I know.
So you're just going to talk loud.
You have to punch it a little.
You want me to speak up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, right, yeah, even I have a billowing voice, and I can't even get this thing to dance.
Okay.
What time?
It is. You want to see what time it is?
I need an exact time.
12:32. Here's my phone. 12:33. It's funny because this is, they're both.
Yeah, we're just
going
to have to write it out.
Ron's there.
Hey, Ron.
We're going
to have to write it out.
Okay, we'll just,
see, that's
we'll just
the
speak up and hope we can get some words out or something.
Okay.
We're about to tell.
So what are we doing now?
Well, I was going to go over my
experience. And then what? We got 15 minutes. So
we'll get through the scriptures and talk about it.
Why do your strengths matter? Well, do you want to be a genius and have an extremely exciting, wonderful purpose in life and love life? Targeting your strengths and knowing your genius is the way to do that. And targeting your strengths in your life. So when you know your strengths, then you know where you should be. And is it the coolest thing?
Yeah, it sure is. And we're having trouble with my mic, so I'm going to speak up a lot more than I did before. And hopefully you can hear me better. Is that any better? Thank you, Chris. Okay. And Anne went over some, you went over some of your strengths from that Strengths Finder survey, and I was going to go over mine. One of mine is achiever, one is discipline, one is harmony, one is learner, and one is relater. And I was thinking how perfectly those strengths prepared me and enabled me, allowed me to go into a teaching profession. I was a professor for a couple of decades, and it went well for me, and I enjoyed it to the hilt immensely, and students responded well. But if I hadn't have been those things, I might not have ever ended up as a teacher in a graduate school. You know?
Mean your strengths.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, ended up with that. So it's interesting how you and I have kind of gone the direction that our strengths led us. And I according to, you know, what McManus is saying, our genius.
Right, our genius.
Yeah.
And I do think that as a professor, you have professors that students like, and you have professors that students don't like. Mm-hmm. You have professors that take time with their students, and they seem to really enjoy it, and they have a passion for what they're teaching.
Yeah.
And then you have professors that don't seem like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're enjoying it, it definitely doesn't look like it.
They just read their lecture notes.
Yeah, so they're definitely in the wrong field.
Seem to be.
And we don't want that to happen to you. We don't want you to follow, oh, okay, well, I'm good at math, so I'll go into math, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, being good at something doesn't necessarily mean that's your strength for your life purpose, right?
Yeah, no, it doesn't necessarily.
You know, I was good at sports, so I could have been a coach.
Could have been.
Right? And it kind of depends on who you talk to. Like if you say, oh, I love sports, oh, you should be a coach. If I say, you know, I love medicine, oh, you should be a nurse if you're a female. If you're a male, but be a doctor, be a vet. Say you love animals, oh, you should be a vet. So it kind of depends on where the person's background, knowledge. Whereas Timothy, if you tell him you love dirt, he would say, be an archaeologist, be a paleontologist, right? Go dig in the ground. But other people might say, what? Be a gardener.
Yeah.
So it just kind of depends on their background. So little kids can lose their passion knowing their strengths and saying, I want to do that. And then someone says, oh, you'll make no money at that.
Right, right.
Or, oh, like you wanted to be an archaeologist.
Yes, I did at one time.
And you were told, well, you would get car sick.
Yeah, you have to travel a lot. And I didn't like to travel because I got car sick. And he said, well, then you don't want to be an archaeologist.
Yeah, so you put that behind you.
Yeah, I put it behind me. And anyway, I didn't end up doing that.
But you would love it, and we are going to go on a dig.
We are going to go on a dig. I really still enjoy the topic, and that science is, to me, it's terribly fascinating.
And it would fit with your strengths as well, when you think about it with all those people, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's kind of funny, when I say go on a dig, Timothy
Mahoney
from Patterns of Evidence, you can go on the computer and look that up, patternsofevidence.com. And he takes people on archaeological digs, but it's also all of the discovered archaeological finds in Israel mm-hmm. and for the Bible.
Yeah.
And he shows you patterns that develop from all of the archaeological evidence. And so it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. Go on that website, Patterns of Evidence, and just take a look if you're interested in history and especially ancient history at all. Look at it. It's really, really good.
So, for you.
And good here?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that also that came to my mind, and Ann and I were talking about it coming in, was the fact that, you know, the scriptures support the idea of God's interaction, creative power, supervision of us, and all of our genius, including talents, skills, all of those things. Now, I want to read a passage from the scriptures that deals with that. Psalm 139 is very familiar to a lot of people. Verses 13 through especially 16, and here's how it goes. David wrote this, the superscription, by the way, says, for the director of music of David, a psalm. And in verse 13 it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It'd be fun to take that psalm kind of apart in those passages right there, because they're so colorful and meaningful, but we don't have time for that today. But all that just to say that all that we're talking about today, all of the genius that each of us has in a particular way, all the skills, the talents, the gifts that are there to be used for the good of mankind, for the good of our human brothers and sisters, God put there for us to develop.
You know, it's interesting that we already were made that way, just realizing it. And that's where Strength Finders helps you, right? You
yes.
learn, these are my strengths. And you realize you have wonderful abilities mm-hmm. that God gave you. It's when you compare that you get depressed, because you see strengths in other people and you don't have those strengths, right? You have different strengths. And you can minimize yours and think theirs are better.
Mm-hmm.
Or even society can do that, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
Because different cultures value different kinds of strengths.
Yeah.
Right? And,
yeah.
you know, everyone in India seems to be a doctor. Right?
Yeah.
It's just like they're all doctors. They can't all be doctors. But it's like they're going to be doctors.
Seems like it.
Medical. Yeah. And you know, so part of it is realizing you each have these unique strengths that make you genius.
Right. And not to minimize yourself at all. I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, saying again what you said. But I remember when I started teaching in higher education, I did tend to compare myself to some of the other professors who had been around for a while, and there was a time when I really wondered if I should be there. And there's a name for that syndrome now, where you know, people think they're not good enough to be where they've been put. That's not true. You need to bloom where you're planted, and if you have the skills to go a certain place and do a certain thing, then enjoy that, use those skills, and don't compare yourself to other people, because they do other things. You do what you do and do it well. So that's one of the things I learned coming through that.
What was that movie with the guy in college at Notre Dame that he wanted to play football?
Rudy.
Rudy. Thank you. Rudy. But he wasn't, he was not that great at that, right? He worked hard. He spent all his time. He wanted to do it really, really badly to make
yeah.
the team and play. And he worked and gave all his time. Didn't focus on school too well. The only reason he focused on school was to be able to stay and play football.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows what his real strengths were. But he is remembered for this, that he finally got to play in the very last game, his senior year, the last game, last moment of the game.
right. And had some success, you know, there.
Well, he did.
Time,
he had,
so.
He made a touchdown, right?
I think
did
so.
Did he make a touchdown? Yes, he did, Chris. No, he didn't make a touchdown. Tell me what happened. So he didn't actually do that, but he got to play. Yeah. Oh, it was movie prowess.
So Rudy got to actually be in the game, play in the game, at least one series, or one down at least. I don't remember how it went, but for Notre Dame in a real game, and that's something I never did.
No.
And
no,
so,
and that
you know,
was exciting. But
yeah.
you know, like, football. He loved football.
Mm-hmm.
He loved football. He loved being with the team. So it was like, what should he have been doing in that area instead? I think sportscasting. You know,
okay, yeah.
things like that. I mean, you look at what his strengths actually were that he ignored, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And his family loved the football too. Notre Dame football. Everybody, you know. So who formed that in him? I don't know. But that's
yeah.
where you can spend your whole life working so hard in the wrong area.
Well, you can, especially if somebody's put that bug in your ear that when you grow up, you must be a doctor, an MD, or some other kind of doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You must be this, or you must do that. And so, you know, sometimes parents try to live their lives out through their kids, and that doesn't end well.
Yeah, that's hard though, because I played volleyball in college and my kids love volleyball, and then eventually they didn't, you know, like Ashley's senior year, she wanted out of volleyball.
Yeah.
And I was devastated because I was just like, I had to really like, because one of the things as parents, we love going to these games and all our friends and their kids. And
yeah.
You make your social life doing that. And it's like, oh, I really like going. Of course, you could still go.
Yeah.
So I had to really think about that. Not live through my child. But, you know, I do know when you talked about that, like you went from wanting to be an archaeologist to doing pre-med and going, wanted to go to med school.
The only reason I did that, though, is because I really did enjoy sciences.
Yeah.
And I loved biology and chemistry in particular. I pretty well hated physics, but that was another issue. But I overall, I loved the sciences. And I thought, well, why not medicine, you know? I didn't think about the pay or what I was going to have to do or anything. I just thought, well. And you know, God changed my mind along the way. And I'm thankful that he did.
Well, and Tom Rath encourages the reader to pinpoint things he or she is good at. So we really encourage you to do that, to focus on developing those qualities rather than expend time and energy improving weaknesses or fixing things that are wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you have a critic in your family, a pretty strong critic, or even a pretty strong perfectionist, they can point out flaws all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or a lot. And it can make you feel like you got to constantly work on fixing things that are wrong. But he says that's the wrong path to go. And so he encourages to focus on your strengths instead, expend time and energy there.
Mm-hmm.
So he divides his book into three different sections. The first is to exaggerate strengths and downplay flaws whenever possible.
Right.
That's what he wants you to do.
Yes.
Okay. And he makes the case that most people spend too long dwelling on their flaws and weaknesses trying to improve. This time could be better spent working on things that are enjoyable and that the person is already good at.
Yeah.
So if we talk about drudgingly thinking, I need to work out, oh my gosh, or they buy equipment in their house and they don't get on it,
yeah,
obviously something's wrong. What would you suggest instead?
Well, you end up doing something that doesn't make you have to go to the gym four or five times a week, and you do something that you enjoy but still gives you some exercise and an opportunity to work out in a different way. Take a hike, you know, out in the woods. You can take a walk with someone you love or enjoy. And so those are also forms of exercise and working out.
Sports with friends. That's one of the things. I wasn't a big going to a club person.
Mm-hmm.
I would always try to get on a league, like go bowling or play in a volleyball league. Or, you know, they had this volleyball in Michigan.
Yeah.
It was like a combination between racquetball and volleyball. Mm-hmm. And it was a big racquetball. It was a big blue ball. And so you had the four walls. And it was really fun. But, you know, you do it a couple of times a week. That was exercise.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go and play softball, get on a softball league at the Village in Dallas. Those apartment complexes. It's so big. They had their own softball leagues and they had racquetball leagues. And that was fun. I think because I like being with friends and socializing.
Sure.
But you don't really think about working out. Like hiking is kind of, if you go to a beautiful area like Eagle Mountain Park
or
wherever that is for you, go hiking. You don't think about how far you're going and the exercise you're getting.
Right. You don't. But you just enjoy the beauty around you and whoever you're with and you're talking as you go. I remember when I was at the School of Aerospace Medicine, there was a friend of mine, we were there together, and we played handball all the time. And we just wore each other out doing that. We'd come back in one of our apartments, open the refrigerator, and get some ice cold watermelon, and eat that thing, and we'd just sit and talk, and it was great.
That was fun. I thought you were going to say ice cream. I'm glad you didn't
say
ice cream.
No.
That's ice. What? After all that working out. Yeah. Okay. So one of the things, everyone has bad habits that have to be broken in order to be successful. But too many people try to follow a script that they think will lead them to a successful life, but is not their strengths.
Boy, that's really true.
So stay right here. We're going to tell you how to do it for you.
Can you hear me better? Can you hear me? Okay. I was thinking of Ron and his genius, you know, and
Ron Neitzel's a genius.
Wasn't that the one you put like the little glove on, the hand, the floor ball, like the fingers would be kind of.
No, that's squash, right? No, that's not squash.
No, that's handball.
Handball.
Yeah, where that.
I haven't played that. That is,
yeah,
I've seen it.
Does it hurt your hand?
No, I'm not playing it. I can tell you.
Can you imagine how hand-eye coordinated you'd have to be? Because you just have. I like the bigger racket, right? Like, I don't know. You could probably do. You were good.
I played handball before racquetball ever came in. You know, I used to think that those racquetball guys were wusses. But the truth is, if you know how to do it, you can get a really good workout.
See, I used to play hockey and used to think racquetball guys were wusses.
Oh, yeah. Well, hockey guys are just crazy.
Racquetball takes a lot of,
it's a risk thing.
Ability.
He could kill me. I had a lot of athleticism, but man, you could kill me a racquetball. Because he would just flip the wrist and hit it in the corner at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
We had this. Is that because you played handball that you could do that?
Yeah,
that
I think
accuracy?
So. It's a good start, yeah.
Yeah.
And but it sure it does hurt your hand at first.
I never played on a team ever, but one of my favorite sports to play was volleyball. Beach volleyball is the best.
Look at that beeping on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, comes and goes.
Kind of like the athlete's foot.
Or whatever, yes.
Yeah.
They come and go.
Now, the one game that Michigan we used to play, Detroit, is it's called curveball. And that's where you have a tennis ball.
Okay.
That's where you have a tennis ball, and you set up these lines, and it's kind of like a baseball game, kind of, where you can play one-on-one with your buddies. You have these certain boundary lines, and if you don't catch it, it lands there, it's a single, double, triple home run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got you. Those are fun games.
Yeah.
I like games like that.
I can't tell you how many times I've wrecked my hands playing that game. That was
fun. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I had a client the other day that they were on a double date, and the guys wanted to take them to paintball.
Yeah.
And
miniature golf.
And she was
now
like, she was like, what? No. I'm thinking paintball. It hurts.
Not a good place to think.
No, I was very surprised.
You're serious about the date anyway.
Okay.
Curling.
Curling.
This is how we get better.
Welcome back. We are going to help you with your genius.
Yes.
When you start finding your strengths, you actually just get a code. You can buy that on the computer for like $15, $5. It's cheaper than it used to be. You used to have to buy the whole book. And then the code was in the book. So I think it's $3, actually, online.
Okay.
And then you take the test, which doesn't take very long. And then it tells you your top five strengths.
Right.
You can pay more money. They have another one, Clifton Strengths, the Gallup, because he's part of Gallup. They let you go find your top 25. But to me, it takes the focus off your top five.
Yeah, to me, that's a distraction.
Right.
Along with just identifying your strengths, though, when you take the survey, it explains the strength, and it also tells how to use it well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the book has all the actual explanations for all of them. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about yours,
mm-hmm.
you found out that, and I learned a lot because I was having you go to meetings with the clinic and. We were going, I think at that time they were trying to start the Chamber of Commerce in Hazlitt.
Yeah.
And so you and I were going, and I had never seen this side of you. Honestly, you looked so bored.
I'm afraid to hear what you're going to say.
And you kept looking at your watch
and
tapping your hands, and I thought, are you okay? Like, oh. And I just had never seen you like that. And so when I heard about your strengths and they started saying, and I'm not sure which one it was, might be achiever or might be discipline. Oh, I think it was discipline. because this one, you're very self-disciplined. And the women were running the meeting, and they weren't following an agenda. And so it was running over. It wasn't very organized. And I was enjoying just visiting with everybody, but you kept looking. That's why you kept looking at your watch. Like, we're never going to get out of here. We're never. And then there's no purpose. And but basically what it said in there is that if you work with this person, don't invite them to meetings unless it's really important that they be there. It's really necessary. And I looked at you and I went, you don't have to go to those chamber meetings. I didn't even realize. I thought you would enjoy it. And you were like, oh, thank you. And I thought that was really...
Yeah, this was to build the business that we were doing. And oh my gosh, those meetings just wore me out with boredom. Because nothing happened there, from my perspective anyway.
Yes, so. Well, it says discipline. These people enjoy routine and structure, which is why I said you're such a creature of habit, right?
Well, and that's true, yeah.
But it was a good thing, really. Mm-hmm. You're so self-disciplined and structured. The world is best described by the order they create. and so on the way here, we couldn't think of one of mine. I said, I can't think of one of mine. And you were going through and you got to this one. I went, no, it's not discipline. I said, I think it's positivity. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, then we went over that. And yeah. That's it, for sure.
Yes. But I think that Achiever was interesting because our life coach for our group said, you know, you'll see that, you know, like Jim is an achiever, but Anna's not an achiever. And I was like, what? Like, what? I'm an achiever.
You were so offended by that. I remember
that. I didn't even know what the achiever, it just sounded bad. Like, hey, I'm an achiever. And she goes, no. And she said, I said, why? And she goes, okay, why do you have two masters? And I said, because I got the first master's in child development and education, so I could learn about all the developing of the brain and everything, and then I got my master's in counseling. Yeah, exactly. And then she turned to you and said, Jim, why do you have a PhD? And you said, it's the highest I could go.
Oh, okay.
And she said, exactly. Achievers don't stop until they can't go any further. So you have to complete it. You have to go, if there was a PhD 2, 3, whatever, ACE PhD, you would do that. You would keep going.
Well, I'd like to think that I might stop somewhere in there, but I don't know. I just got it because I had to have it in order to do what I wanted to do, you know, which was teach at the graduate level and especially at the seminary.
Yeah, so you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting when you learn about other people's strengths. So one of my daughters was input, and I thought, oh my gosh. You know, input, they read and read and read. They take in all this data. It's different than the kind of reading you do. She loves data. She loves trivia. She loves information. She loves just taking in data. And I was like, oh, God, right?
Yeah, and that's different from learning, which is one of mine. Uh-huh. Yeah,
you're a learner. People, especially talented in the learner theme, have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve. And particularly the process of learning rather than the outcome excites them. You love learning.
Right, but it's more than just input, you know, just enjoying that part of the learning process.
Yeah, learning to learn.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, so it's very exciting when you learn all these. So I just think, I really just encourage you. Now, when you take that and you learn about strengths, and then you read The Genius of Jesus, it's like, oh my gosh, no wonder he impacted people the way he did. Like, how? Because you just look at, when you watch The Chosen, and that actually takes in the detail and his character, and they do it over many, many, many seasons, and you see all these strengths coming out, and you see why people just follow him and love him and feel so impacted just by his presence.
Yeah, and his being, you know.
So... Go ahead.
I was just going to say how he is with people, how he comes across with people.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was down to two seconds, and then you start talking. So you just kind of watch them. Two seconds. 6 seconds, not minutes. 2 seconds. When he goes one, that's 1 minute. And then he goes 30 seconds.
And so when he gets down here, that's minutes. I mean, sorry, seconds. That's what's confusing. Did you think you had 2 minutes?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
All right. Just put your hand
in. So. We didn't end. That was the end of the show. So.
What?
I think so.
Wait.
Yeah. That was it. Gotta get the clock. But that's the thing, not having a clock, we just can't tell, right? We didn't finish, did we?
Not quite, no.
Yeah.
No, I thought we had, you know, that last segment, 5 minutes or something.
That was the 5 minute. So, I think, yeah. Yeah.
So, how come you didn't have a clock? Just the stuff's not working?
I don't know. And even if I bring mine, I would say when he does his hands, if you're talking, then keep doing it. But no, don't stop. But if I'm talking, when we don't have a clock, maybe just don't jump in because you don't know how much time is left.
No, we did pretty well.
No, I know, but it was so hard, yeah.
Anyway, okay. That's too bad.
That was the end, right?
Yeah.
Just the ending of the last time. Okay. All right. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Bye, guys. Oh, Wayne is here. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. There we go. You want to say bye?
Bye, everybody. Thank you for being with us.
Find your genius.